This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
So if you remember all the way back at the beginning of this Congress, this was one of the first things that the House Democrats decided to do.
The reality of the crisis has to be met with the actuality of action that we take.
Speaker Pelosi, you know, threw her weight behind this idea of doing a committee dedicated towards climate change.
We've had 100 hearings already. The Climate Select Committee, headed by Kathy Castor, is preparing its report.
We want dramatic reductions in carbon pollution. We want to make clean energy a pillar of our economy and create the green jobs of today and the future.
So they've been building for their 18th month existence towards issuing this report, offering a roadmap for how the country should go about tackling climate change and reducing emissions such that we're able to hit a lot of what the scientists say we need to do to avoid the worst impacts of climate change.
I'm Kelsey Tamburino, and today,
one thing that we can see throughout this report is an effort to be responsive to the systemic racial injustice that's been the protests that have been sweeping the country. The murder of George Floyd is mentioned on page one of this, and the focus on environmental justice is seen throughout. There's a recognition, I think, by the Democrats of the need to do more. It's an issue that's been floating around Democratic circles for a long time, but this report really sharpens the rhetoric and says we've got to turn this idea that we've talked about a long time into action. And that's something that I thought is really notable, a really key focus of this report throughout.
My colleague Anthony Adragna fleshes out House Democrats' plan to tackle climate change. It's Wednesday, July 1st.
It's definitely the most ambitious climate change plan that Democrats have offered to date, certainly the most ambitious one that has the backing of the party's leadership. It doesn't go quite as far as backers of the Green New Deal, like the Sunrise Movement, would like. But I think they, in their statements, what we've seen is a recognition that the party really has moved quite a bit to the left when it comes to tackling climate change. And this is an aggressive plan that would go much, much further and require a much heavier lift than anything the country has done remotely to date on climate change.
So how far do these recommendations go?
This proposal really envisions a world in which we're phasing out our use of fossil fuels really quickly. Its overarching goal is to be at net zero emissions by 2050, but it's calling for entirely electric-powered cars by 2035. It aims to set a clean energy standard that's net zero for the nation's power plants by 2040. Big reductions in emissions from buildings and reducing their carbon intensity. So what's really interesting and impressive in a lot of ways about this report is that it touches on pretty much every sector of the American economy with goals that would require a really heavy lift and certainly would go much further than the country has gone so far to date in trying to tackle climate change. The report does mention carbon pricing as something that they think is a component of the solutions to addressing climate change, but it does note that it's not a silver bullet. So I think before, what we've seen is a lot of Democrats really saddle up to the idea of carbon pricing as sort of a one-stop shop to make a really big dent. And I think in recent years, what we've seen is the realization that it may be one tool in the toolbox, but it's not the tool in the toolbox. And that's reflected in this report as well.
And Anthony, what are Democrats going to do with this plan? Can they vote on these proposals?
This in and of itself is just a report, right? So it's not actually legislative text that can get a vote. But I think this can be seen as sort of a consensus opinion among the bulk of the Democratic caucus. There's ideas and bills in here from more than 100 members of that group, which span the range of ideologies. You've got freshman members of the caucus who were elected, many of them running on climate change, that have put a lot of time and energy and ideas into the proposal. So I think the right way to think of this is not so much as something that's going to get a vote, but it's kind of laying a marker down for where the caucus may want to go should they win the White House in the fall and flip the Senate, which would be the best chance to move legislation like this.
So, of course, this isn't the only thing we've heard from Democrats on climate change and the environment.
We're going to invest $1.7 trillion in securing our future so that by 2050, the United States will be 100% clean energy economy with net zero emissions.
Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, has some form of a plan to tackle climate change.
This is all about our grandkids. We're just talking about our grandkids for our families. And hammered by superstorms and pollution, and for upside, the upside of this is there's good jobs out there. We're going to be able to create a lot of good jobs.
How does this plan compare to that?
I haven't compared this 547-page report, but actually we got a statement from the Biden campaign, which was supportive of this work, and again suggested that he was going to really prioritize a lot of these ideas as a top priority if he's elected. So I think there's been a recognition among the top most Democrats of the need to do something ambitious. And I think this report and the comments out of the Biden campaign are a recognition of where the younger members of their party and in many ways their political base is right now.
Also, the House Armed Services Committee is marking up their version of the National Defense Authorization Act today, a must-pass bill that sets the budget for the Defense Department for the upcoming year. The House measure so far includes provisions to prepare military bases for the consequences of climate change and provisions tackling PFAS, including the phase-out of the toxic chemicals in firefighting foam. On Monday, the Senate incorporated amendments to its version of the NDAA to include sanctions on the Russian Nord Stream 2 pipeline and to boost carbon capture and sequestration technologies. Also in the substitute amendment are provisions to advance nuclear technologies and extend the Diesel Emissions Reduction Act. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Support for the Politico Energy podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.